Would you stand as you are able and turn to hymn number 337 as we sing the verses of Only Trust Him. Let us unite in the historic confession of the Christian Church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
seated. This is a Father's Day pastoral prayer. Holy Father, the title Father bears much weight in our hearts. Fatherhood is easily attainable, but is not easily spiritually represented to our children. Today we remember the first father, Adam, who endured a son taking the life of one of his sons. Father Abraham, who endured being estranged from his son, Isaac, and who has rejected his son Ishmael. Father Esau, who has endured the creation of Jacob's choice of Isaac. Father Jacob, who endured the treachery created by favoring Rachel's son Joseph over Leah's 10 children. And finally, Father Joseph, who set in motion the enslavement of his descendants by the decision to make them dependent upon Egypt instead of you. Holy Father, we are the children of fathers and our fathers ourselves. We remember when we discovered our father could not give us everything we wanted, did not know everything we needed to know, and did not always match his actions to his words. These awakenings within us were meant to point us to our Heavenly Father. They are not meant to dissuade us of our need for a father here on earth. Today we celebrate our father's intentions, our own intentions as fathers, and the need to both forgive and be forgiven, to bless and to be blessed within our families. We pray today for all fathers, we who with the best of intentions to leave our children better than we found them, seem somehow to not accomplish every goal we set. What children need most, money cannot purchase. You alone, Holy Father, can give us our heart's desire. Bless children. Holy Father, help us to see that Father's Day is truly your day and your Son's day, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As you are able, would you stand and join in singing the hymn of promise?
Thank you.
Would you remain standing for the reading of God's word from John 21, 1 through 14? After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And he said to them, children, have you no fish, have you? They answered, no. He said, cast your net to the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to handle it because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for there was not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the nets ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Thank you.
What amazes me is that you would think the distance from that chair to this pulpit wouldn't be far enough that you could forget announcements, even when they're written down and in bold. But apparently, you can. And so do want to say happy Father's Day. Failed to mention that. You would think that at a day that's set aside for me, too, that I would be, you know, be first on my list. What I really wanted to mention was I hope that you will breathe a prayer for our brother and sister churches, Methodist churches in our conference. Father's Day is always the day that if there are pastoral changes, this is the first Sunday. And many of you have friends down at St. Luke. Robert Beckham retired last week, and they have a new minister, Thad Haygood. And Thad and I, doesn't matter what conference event that would take place, Thad and I always sit together. Last name Green, last name Haygood, the G's and H's always seem to find themselves. We were ordained right by each other, and so I've long known Thad and his family. But for them, it's a new Sunday. He is the former senior minister at Albany First. Now is the senior minister at St. Luke. I hope that you'll pray for Thad, pray for St. Luke and this new relationship that they have. You would think that we, those of us that have been long-time Methodists, can make the shift in just 1 week. But it's actually harder than what you think. And it's harder. It's hard for clergy. It's hard for church people to see someone that's been a part of your life for years and years and years on one Sunday, and then the very next Sunday see somebody that is completely different. So it would not be wasted time spent in prayer for Thad and for Laura. Many of you know Alice Douglas. She's not even here for me to mention that I'm her from the pulpit, you know. So I'm sure that's Alice's son-in-law, and I'm sure she's worshiping down at St. Luke today with her family. But pray for them in the days to come and in the years to come, the Haygoods and St. Luke. Let's pray at this moment. Oh God, now as we move into a time of where it's a transition in our worship service, where we want to be engaged by the scripture lesson, what we always pray is that in the reading and the hearing, that somehow the addition of your spirit is added to where what we ponder, what we hold, what becomes a part of our life is the gospel. And true to what the New Testament says, we want that to be as a seed that is planted, and then from that grows a great harvest. So in all of that, if those things inside of us that need to change, need to die, some need to be birthed and grow, whatever it may be, we want to yield to that today and trust your care, not just for this time, but for each and every one of us. Guide us, O God, we pray, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Now, for the past 2 weeks, I've tested what I would call a working theory. And it has to do with how does a person change, or look at it on a corporate level, how do people as a group change? Because the assumption is that what took place and happened in the disciples' lives can happen to us. Now, over these last 2 weeks, I've laid out the different components to this theory, and there are at least three. There might be more, but it involves embracing the truth. It involves an empowerment by God's Spirit, and it'll involve beginning a mission. Now, for 2 weeks, we've looked at John chapter 20, and what I sought to do was to lay out through John chapter 20 those examples of how this theory worked in the lives of the disciples. In the beginning of John chapter 20, you see this with the 10 disciples. At the latter part, the second half of John chapter 20, you see this specifically in the life of Thomas and how their life changed to some degree. It was embracing the truth. It was empowered by the Spirit. And then this idea of a mission, they begin a mission. I want us to stay with that one more time for today. I just want us to focus our attention on what prevents us from changing. Now, I want you to hear again the story to give us our context for today. Now, we do know from the beginning of John chapter 21 that it's the same people as John chapter 20. They're mentioned by name, but at some point in their gathering, Peter stood up and declared, "I'm going fishing." Now, think back with me to the beginning of the Gospels and what took place in the life of Peter the moment he met Jesus. He was called away from fishing, this type of life. So for Peter to stand up and declare he's going fishing, this is not just one more trip with the boys. This is Peter in retreat. He's going back to an old way of life. He's retreating, going back to something that he was called away from. Don't miss that. Peter stood up, declared in front of them all, "I'm going fishing." Now, we don't know exactly why he did this. Maybe he was impatient. I mean, how do you respond when you want something to take place and it just doesn't happen fast enough? Now, I'm sure we're all just have the patience of Job, right? Most of us don't. So maybe he was impatient. Maybe he was fearful. Change is not for the faint of heart. And there are so many people that will stay in the hell of their own existence because what it takes to leave that and to pursue something else, too great. It's fearful to change, to begin anew, to see something that's different. Maybe for Peter, there are unresolved issues. We don't know with 100% certainty what was underneath the surface. But we do know that Peter went fishing. He and James and John, they fished all night long. They were not successful. And then in the beginning of a new day, on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, and some of you have stood there. You've stood there with me, and you can envision what it looks like. Sometimes the fog rolls in. I know that others have been there. The fog rolls in, and you can't see more than about 50 or 100 yards. Typical morning on the sea, and they hear a voice that said, "Did you catch anything?" And then the idea that, well, if not, cast your nets, fish on the other side. How do you respond to what we would call armchair quarterbacks? Do you like them? I hear them sometimes. They normally show up at dinner. You ever notice that? Where you're maybe walking in to the restaurant and someone will say, "Well, preacher, you know what you really need to preach on? How about you?" Jesus or Peter, a professional fisherman, hears a voice from the shoreline. "Why don't you cast over there," as if they didn't know? Well, maybe to their amazement, they do. And they end up with this huge catch, big haul. So much so that they struggle to bring the nets in. But something clicked inside of Peter at that moment that Peter immediately dove into the water, swam to shore, and as he's coming up out of the water, the text mentioned that Jesus has a fire burning on the shoreline. It actually specifically mentioned the word coals. There's only one other time that this word is mentioned in John's gospel. Do you know when? Better yet, do you know where? It's when Peter is warming his hands on the court of the high priest the same night that he denied Jesus three times. This is a vivid reminder of Peter's past. particularly three denials. At some point, breakfast is over, and Peter and Jesus, they went for a walk. And here you actually see the crux of the issue. Peter cannot forgive himself because that's all they talked about. And his level of struggle with that is so much so that it's blocking him from his mission. Three times, do you love me? Three times, then feed my sheep. See the connection. It's so easy for us to fall back into old patterns, particularly when we're fearful, when we're impatient, or we can't see what a new day will be. There's a couple of times in the New Testament that it talks about change. Sometimes it uses wording that's change being instantaneous, happens right then. But so many times in the New Testament, when the New Testament talks about change, it uses words that have to do with progress over time. You see this in the tenses often where Paul will write, I am saved or I am changed. And then in the very next sentence, he'll say, I'm being saved or changed at this very moment. And then often he'll say, I will be in the future. It's both instantaneous and at the same time progressive. The struggle for us is that we want it to be quick and easy. And when it doesn't happen that way, what do? For many, it's to fall back into old patterns. I've heard the voice. Maybe you have too. That little voice that whispers in your ear, that's never really going to take place for you. That's not going to happen. You're never going to be this type of person. I mean, can you actually see what you can become? You know, God has this wonderful ability to see exactly who we are at this very moment and then at the same time see what we can be in His Spirit. We just can't. Which is all the more reason why we need forgiveness. Forgiveness cuts the cord of old patterns. So let's test it with my theory. One component, embracing the truth. So often in the church, when we talk about the truth, we talk about the truth being in Christ. But there's another aspect of truth that's truth about me or truth about you. Now, over these last 2 weeks, we've mainly looked at this idea of what is the truth in light of Jesus. But at the same time, we need to balance and hold that it's not just the truth of Jesus, but it's the truth about who we are. Maybe to see ourselves in the shadow of who Jesus is. I'm a huge fan of the 12-step programs. And the idea, what I really appreciate is where they start. This idea of a moral inventory. Self-awareness. And for Peter, it was the self-awareness in the tune of that I really did deny three times. But then to also see that in the light of I'm walking with one on the beach who is the epitome of grace and mercy. It's in my experience that when someone can come face to face with who they really are, and to see that in light of who Jesus really is, that might be for the first moment where honesty can actually become a reality. There is no holiness without honesty. Got a handful of friends that are in recovery, and one of my childhood friends called me, this was a couple of months ago, and he was going to get his six-year pen, 6 years of sobriety. And he said, if you would, please come by and be a part of the celebration. And And I've been to these before, and I'm sure that you've been to them as well, and because they follow the same format. They talked about recovery, sobriety, and then they celebrated a year of accomplishment. And for this person, he then retold his story. And they're all the same. The day that I learned to be honest with myself was the day that I began my sobriety. I had to stop running from the truth. Because that has the ability to lay a foundation for what we ultimately can be. So this idea of change that involves a level of truth with an honest look at who we are in light of who Jesus is. Second component, empowered by the Spirit. Forgiveness is experiential. It's liberation. Forgiveness liberates the soul that can remove fear from a past event. There are two different words that are used in the New Testament that are often translated into forgiveness. Both of them carry with them the connotation of being released from something. Forgiveness is not about forgetting. That is the most illogical thing in the world, to think that forgiveness is the same thing as forgetting. That actually, you know, when you try to forget, you actually trigger in your mind what will happen or what did happen. It's not forgetting. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is something that takes place with God's Spirit so that past event that used to control us, the toxicity that is associated with that is removed. And so a person can experience freedom. Freedom in forgiveness, because it's freedom in God's grace. That's where humility kicks in. People who live in the center of God's grace, in the center of forgiveness, they are aware of their continual need of forgiveness. And that helps begin the process of change. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about what compels a person to do whatever it is that they'll do. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's the love of Christ that compels a person. It's not another person lording over. It's where that heart is changed. That can't happen without forgiveness. You know, most scholars, when they study the New Testament, they want to pinpoint the moment that actually there's change that took place inside of Peter. I think it started on the beach. Three times do you love me, three times feed my sheep. Does this mean that Peter was perfect? Absolutely not. Forgiveness is not about perfection. It's about being set free from what controls you. It's about being set free from those old patterns that are dominated by fear. That last component, begin a mission. From this moment forward in Peter's life in the New Testament, his life is a story of redemption. Every day that Peter lived out his mission was another day where he replaced this old way of life with now what is the new way of life. Three times, do you love me? Three times, feed my sheep. Same for you. And so every day that you begin this mission of forgiveness, your life then is the witness. A witness of redemption. A message where people grow in grace and they live into what God sees. People often ask me, Shane, how would you describe what it means to be a follower of Christ? And I always respond the same way. It's redeemed flesh. Now, I get it. We read in John's gospel, flesh is not necessarily the word that John uses. But I actually like this, redeemed flesh. Because I think what people need and what they desire more than anything else is to see a real witness of forgiveness, a real witness of redemption. It's not about being everything tied off in a nice bow where it looks perfect. People want to live in a community where they live in a community of people that have been redeemed, who are working it out day in and day out. I mean, today's Father's Day. You know what they want to see? They want to see fathers that can balance life, work, family, marriage, relationships. How many of you have got it perfect? None of us. But everybody in here can be a story of redemption to where they live out this life. A life where they have embraced the truth. They've got this experience with the Holy Spirit, which leads to forgiveness. And then each and every day going forward, they live this story of redeemed flesh. Not perfect, just redeemed, forgiven. I think that's what people really want to see. If it happened to Peter, and if my theory's accurate, which means what happened to them can happen to us, then every day that we go forward living this life of forgiveness, modeled by Jesus Christ, is a witness to God's grace and mercy. Well, there's my theory. It carries with an assumption that it can happen to you. At some point, we have to embrace the truth of who we are in the shadow of who Christ is. A willingness to be empowered by God's Spirit, where you actually experience forgiveness. And then you live that way every day going forward, under the hand of God. I think people want to see that desperately. Why not you? Lord, we read these passages and we could take the names out and inject ours and it would be accurate. In different ways, we've denied, rejected, ran away. And so maybe for some of us, what we need is a walk on the shoreline. Not where we deny or justify, just an honest walk. And then to hear those words of forgiveness. And to allow that to become part of our skin, the lining of our stomach, to where it's not something we just talk about, it's something that we live. And then each and every day, to live in the shadow of your grace and mercy and how that changes from the inside out, little by little. Wherever we are this morning, O God, we pray to meet you. And the hope and the prayer that our life would change. Oh God, this we pray in your name. Amen. Our hymn of consecration, you'll find it's hymn number 331. Holy Spirit, come, confirm us. Invite you to stand as you're able as we sing this hymn together. Hymn 331. Thank you. benediction. Now may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his face and his countenance and give you rest and peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.